For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, July the 5th, 1990. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Reggie Foreman is the minister of the morning.
Our message this morning is going to be the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I said, Lord, are you trying to tell me something? If you can notice, meeting service that we've had, songs that you maybe have never sang before, you sang, and ever so often it would be the word about fire. Something about fire. And then if you was here, I think morning, at this same hour, that a tongue come forth, two parts of the interpretation. And each part, which I guess that's on tape, I was hoping it would be, that you'll find that the Lord spoke something about fire. And I'm not irreverent when a tongue or interpretation comes forth, but I'm writing usually parts of it down and taking notes. I get a lot of my messages from those. God speaks to me that way. And then this morning through our brother, if you can remember, but I know that's on tape too, but the Lord mentioned several things about fire. One thing was, he was the fourth man in the furnace. The other thing was that he desired holiness, and fire had something to do with that. And I was taking notes, brother. So I'm going to preach it, what you brought forth. Amen. And then of all things yesterday, my lunch was interrupted, and I don't like my lunch interrupted. You know what interrupted my lunch? Fire. So there was a message to me there. Praise God. So we turn to Matthew chapter 3, and we're going to have a teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. I think we've had enough teachings on the baptism of the Holy Ghost that the whole world should know about the Holy Ghost. But what's sad is, I have never really heard, I can hardly know of any messages on the fire. The fire. And we can't separate the Holy Ghost from the fire. The Holy Ghost is the fire. The work of the Holy Ghost is the fire. And let's look at Matthew. Praise God. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. John the Baptist said in verse 11 of Matthew 3, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he, who is he? Jesus, that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now in the King James, it's got with, W-I-T-H, Holy Ghost and with fire. And I understand that italicized words, you can leave them out and it could be the original. So it's the Holy Ghost and fire without a separation. So I see that John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing with water unto repentance, but Jesus that comes after me, he's mightier than I. I'm not even worthy to even touch his shoes. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Whose fan is in his hand, he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will do what? Burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now what's chaff? It's the hull of the grain, or it's the part of the grain that's not a food, that has no food value. It's the part that needs to be separated from the grain. Now understand, the grain was trampled on a floor. And it was trampled, and then on a windy day, the grain was thrown upward into the air. The grain would fall back to the floor. It was gathered up for good use. But the wind, there was enough wind to move. And it's amazing, on the day of Pentecost, the wind blew too, didn't it? But the wind moved the chaff over to a side, and that chaff was swept up and burned. I believe that when Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Ghost and fire, we are baptized into deliverance. And we will see that fire is the purifying or the cleansing of our lives. We will see that in the next few moments. Okay, John said Jesus was baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, and his fan is in his hand. You know, the brother yesterday said, I thought I had the fire under control, but the wind shifted directions. I don't know if that brother is in here or not. But that's when he came to get help. See, the wind will cause the fire to go faster. It gives it more to burn. So the wind shifted and the fire was then out of control. See, the Holy Ghost and fire, you know, the Lord wants to burn that chaff out of our life. But his fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will do what to the chaff? He will burn it with unquenchable fire. And then we see that Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of John. John didn't understand. He forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee. Why you come to me? Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were open unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Isn't it amazing that after Jesus Christ was baptized, that the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, did what, according to chapter 4, verse 1? Led Jesus up. Some people think the wilderness is down, but it's up. Led Jesus up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Jesus Christ had to go through the wilderness to give us an example. After you are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, you must go through the wilderness, and that's where the fire does what needs to be done. The fire begins to operate in the wilderness. Give me a scripture. Okay, where was Moses when he saw the burning bush? We'll get to that after a while. Hallelujah. So God brought Jesus to the wilderness for a reason. Chapter 4, verse 23, I'm not reading all in between there. It's all important, but I'm pointing out something to you. Look at verse 23 of chapter 4. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, with and those which were possessed with devils, and those that were lunatic, and those that had the palsies, and he healed them. When did Jesus begin to preach? When did Jesus begin to preach the kingdom of God? When did he begin to do this? After he came out of the wilderness. I'm concerned that there are preachers today who say they are called of God and have never been through the wilderness, and they are standing behind the pulpit at preachers, pastors that are scattering the flock and telling them everything that's everything but the Bible. You cannot preach the Word of God unless you have experienced the wilderness. And you cannot testify really what God's done for you until you have experienced the wilderness. Jesus Christ worked miracles, but not until after he went through the wilderness. He was baptized in the river Jordan. The Spirit of the Lord came on him in the form of a dove. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. He spent 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness being tempted of the devil. Now, we don't like that, those problems we face, but it's for a purpose, and it's for a purpose to perfect us for the kingdom of God. Amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus Christ worked miracles after he went through the wilderness. We have our cart before the horses. We're trying to work miracles before we go through the wilderness. God's blessed us and we're clean, and there hasn't been a fire yet. So we need the fire. We need the baptism and fire. Baptism means to cover or emerge. So if you are baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, the Holy Ghost covers you and the fire covers you. Praise God. Hallelujah. What do you do when you're in the wilderness? I did a study. You die. Years of study, I've come to the conclusion that you do one thing in the wilderness. Unless you die, you can never live. Unless one grain of corn dies, die and fall in the ground, it abides alone. But if that one grain of corn would die, it would bring forth much fruit. Have you ever pulled one ear of corn and counted the grains on it? Try that. It would be at least 240. One grain of corn should die. What do you do in the wilderness? Die. What does the fire do? Brings death. Death to self. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. What does crucified mean? Die. I am dead with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I that lives, but Christ in me lives. In the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. John the Baptist even said, I must decrease. He must increase. John the Baptist had to have his head cut off before Jesus ever worked a miracle. There's a message there. So John the Baptist prepared the way. He died. Jesus stood up. We need to die to ourselves. We need to die to our own little ideas and traditions so Jesus Christ can rise up within us. Why did God use Moses to deliver the Hebrews? Why did God use Moses to start a nation? Because Moses was the only man who was qualified. Some of us think you go to the seminary to be qualified, or the cemetery, some people might call it. But you're qualified by a wilderness experience. 40 years of death, which is a generation. You remember Moses ran from Egypt, went and spent 40 years in a wilderness. And at the end of that 40th year, where was he? On the backside of the desert. Where are you after 40 years of a wilderness? You're on the backside of it. And on the backside of that wilderness, of that desert, he saw on the side of that mountain a bush on fire. He turned aside to check this out. Why the bush was burning, but yet not yet burn up. And he walked up that mountain when God began to speak to him out of the fire. It says out of the fire. And God spoke and told Moses that he sees the affliction of his people, his only people bound in Egypt. And I hear that cry, says God. People everywhere says, if God cares, why come he doesn't do something? God does care. God does hear the cry of those bound by the Egyptians and the taskmasters. But where are the Moses? The Moses are those that's in the wilderness that would hear the voice of God and then walk away carrying the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ, stepping into Egypt, facing and said, thus saith God. There are people that are friends of ours, relatives of ours, that are bound and they're blaming God for their bondage. It's not God that's the reason they're bound. They're bound by their own unbelief. They're bound by destruction. Powers of darkness, and there needs to be a Moses that would step forth out of the wilderness after experiencing the burning bush, saying, thus saith the Lord, let the people of God go. It's the people of God that's bound. It's the people of God that's bound and tormented. Moses experienced the fire. Therefore, the children of Israel, the children of God, the Hebrews, were freed. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and in the othermost parts of the earth. According to Acts 1:8, you receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you to be a, and the King James says witness, but the original writing says to be a martyr. You receive power to die. Why don't we see miracles? Because we haven't received the power to die yet. We still alive. We still have our own traditions and ideas. And Jesus says to even the Pharisees, the Word of God of none effect by your own traditions. Traditions, if you look it up, is man, flesh. So we must die. Let's peep over to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them, read with me, look, there appeared unto them, what happened first? Cloven tongues like a fire, and it set up on them. That's the first thing that happened. The fire fell. What's the second thing? Then they began to speak in the tongues. It says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance. I believe that you need to allow the fire to come into your life to have the genuine baptism. I'm concerned that people say, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, and all they do is everything but what the Holy Ghost would do. They are full of a ghost, but it's not holy. They are full of a spirit, but it's not holy. They have in dreams and revelations, but it's not of God. We need to be set free from that power of darkness that's crept into even the body of Christ. Very strong. But I want you to see that the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were in all in one accord, somewhere around 120. People say it was 120. The Bible never says it was 120. It says around 120. So I don't know if they were so happy they couldn't count them because they was moving so much or what. But it was around 120. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire and set upon each of them. And they all were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The Methodist friend of mine, Curtis Lott in Gloucester, he preaches at the Methodist Church. I preach at the people ask me what it is, and I say, I don't know. You know, it used to be full gospel until the full gospel people went so off in left field, so I don't know what I am now. So ever what we are at TNT Fellowship, that's the name of the church, TNT, Trinity New Testament. And believe me, it's dynamite. But Curtis Lott told me of his preacher friend in the Methodist church. He saw this. He said they was going to put him on a drama and call it Pentecost. They had everything lined up. They had everything just right. They had lights set. And they had everything moved off, and they was putting on a drama. And the man that was letting the fire down dropped it. And the church burnt down. But you know, the fire got away from them. And they all had to run out the door. Nobody was hurt. Just the building burnt down. The fire department came, but it was too late. But you see, even the Methodists know that the fire's got something to do with it. And I think we have some buildings that need to be burnt down. Maybe I better go on. Some kingdoms that's not of God. Hallelujah. Pentecost. What does Pentecost mean? 50. It's 50 days after the resurrection. And isn't it amazing that the Lord arranged it that Pentecost fell on 50 days after the resurrection? And the first time I read about Pentecost in the Bible is Leviticus 23, verse 15 and 16. And the Lord said, count 50 days, and after that 50th day, offer unto the Lord an offering. And I began to look, and I studied, and I found that on the day of Pentecost, these 120-some-odd people were offering unto the Lord themselves an offering. Unto the Lord. That was their meat offering, their flesh offering, their cereal offering was themselves, and they offered it unto the Lord, and the Lord answered by fire and consumed it. On the day of Pentecost, God consumed the 120-some-odd. They were so consumed, out of the upper room they walked, full of the power of the Lord, with impurities burning off of them, telling the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a move of God. 3,000 people fell on their face and said, we want Jesus Christ to come into our heart and forgive us of our sins. That's revival. And it came from around 120-some-odd people. I would say maybe even less people that could be in this building right now changed the world because the fire had its freedom in their lives. Praise God. If you can remember Elijah, the first time he appeared was when he stepped up in front of King Ahab and said, it's not going to rain, neither will the dew fall. And then he confronted the false religions of the land of Eden that should be God's land. And he got a little meeting together and said, the God that answers by fire, let him be God. you got a message there. There was 450 prophets of prosperity and good teachings. Baal is the god of prosperity. Whoops. And they was telling how good everything was going to be all right. And keep the words just right. Keep the good confession, brother, and it will happen. 450 voices making good confessions. But Baal never answered. The God of prosperity never answered. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, they got mad, cut themselves, jumped on the altar, broke it down. And Elijah says, build the altar again. We need an altar. We need an altar. And we need to kneel at that altar. Elijah says, build the altar again and dig around it a ditch and fill it with water. Barrel after barrel of water was hauled, and that ditch ran full over the 12 stones, and down the mountain went the water. Elijah backed up and he prayed 56 words. It don't take long to pray 56 words, my friend. 56 words. He stepped back. He knew what was fixing to happen. And the fire came down and consumed the altar, the stones, the sacrifice, everything around, and even the nation. The people says, the God of Elijah is the God to serve, for he answered by fire. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16, which happens to be one of my favorite scriptures. See, the devil tried real hard to keep Mark chapter 16 out of the Bible to say it wasn't in the original manuscripts. He also tried to keep the whole book of James out. And the devil's something. So that's the reason I try to, every time I preach, find something in Mark chapter 16 to bring out. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Jesus said unto them in Mark 16, 15. Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? Damned. And these signs shall follow who? Them that believe. What's the first thing they're going to do? Cast out devils. What's the first thing that happened on the day of Pentecost? The fire fell. What's the second thing that happened on the day of Pentecost? They begin to speak with other tongues. What's the second thing that in 16th chapter verse 17 says? In my name, they speak with new tongues. You see, it's in that order. It's the fire, then it's the tongues. It's the purifying, and then it's the move of God. But you've got to have the purifying first. And that's the reason Jesus said the first thing we've got to do, we've got to get the darkness out. We've got to get those spirits of darkness out. And the fire does that. Fire is deliverance. Hallelujah. And we're going to leave that right there. You do a study. See, I'm giving you an outline, only an outline. Deuteronomy 4:36. This right, study him later. It says, upon the earth he showed his great what? Fire. And thou heardest the words out of the midst of the fire. That's Deuteronomy 4:36. He showed his great fire, and out of the midst of the fire his words were heard. That's what Moses did. Out of the midst of the fire, the words of the Lord were heard. On the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, out of the midst of the fire, the word of the Lord was heard. And 3,000 people saved. And then 5,000 more just minutes later. Praise God. 2 Kings 19 and 12, it was a wind. You remember that scripture? We hear it all the time. It was an earthquake. And after the earthquake, it was a fire. But what happened after the fire? The still, small voice. But it was in that order. Wind, earthquake, fire, voice. The voice follows not the wind, nor the earthquake. We've seen the wind, or seen the effects of it. We've seen the earthquakes. God hasn't spoke yet. Get a fire, God will speak. Then it's the still small voice. Isaiah 66:15. Behold, the Lord cometh with fire. 1 Peter 1:7. We can turn to this one. 1 Peter 1:7. I do like Brother Bowen. I'll back up one verse. 1 Peter 1:6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in what? Heaviness. Through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So your trial is for a reason. It was for a reason for Moses to go to the wilderness so he could die, so he could have the fire in his life, so he could minister deliverance to the captives. It's God's will you and I go through the wilderness. It is a false teaching when somebody tells you that when you get saved, you're going to live happily, happy, happy, super happy, and God's going to give you money in the mailbox every day. And you're going to have a brick house, and you're going to have a Lincoln Continental, and later on you'll have a Learjet. You know, too bad Moses didn't know that. I don't even think he had a camel with white, much less a car with white walls. But what matters is, let's get it right now. It's all right if you got these things. I'm not against you if you got it. I just happen to not have faith enough to get it. I don't have what it takes to get it, I'll be honest with you. What I want is Jesus Christ. I want Him to have His will in my life. And anything else that can line up, let it go. But the first people that committed suicide on the day that the economy fell, and we saw it again just a months or years or so back, is those that had the Lincolns, the fancy britches, and all the other stuff. So let's be simple, and let's follow Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not against it if you got a big Lincoln. That's good. I like to ride in it. I like to punch in buttons and make him wonder. He's got, whoop, whoop, whoop. But it was the fire. See, let's look at this again. That the trial of your faith being much more precious than that gold people want. See, the trial is more important than the money. Amen. It's the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold, and that gold's going to perish. But what I'm telling you is not going to perish. When Jesus comes back at that last trump, you're going to be already ready to be willing to rule and reign with Him. You won't have to say, oh God, let me get out of the Lincoln and try to get it. You'll be already there. Won't be any big deal. I mean, you're already prepared. You're already ready. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perish, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And then 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning thee, fiery trial. Y'all reading with me? The fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing has happened unto you. But rejoice in so much that you are partakers of Christ's what? Sufferings. Where did He suffer? In the wilderness. After the baptism. He suffered 40 days, 40 nights without food. He suffered. That was the beginning of His suffering. And He suffered on. That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. A lot of people say, well, I don't understand why people don't want deliverance. All they want to do is say that it's evil. Well, if we do what the Scripture says, one day God's going to be glorified even in us. And it will be proven that the way we're walking is the only way. It will be proven. People will begin to see that we know the truth, and the truth has made us free. Therefore, they need to be free. Praise God. Now, let's get over to Numbers chapter 31. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers chapter 1, verse 23. Little things for you to mark in the study. Numbers 31:23. Everything that may abide thee fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. Everybody got it? Numbers 31:23. We read that first part together again. Everything that may abide the fire, ye shall make it go through the fire, and it shall be clean. See, the Word of God, even in the building of the temple, we're the temple of the Lord. And even the utensils of the temple, we have utensils. And that applies to our life. You can write down the whole chapter of Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22, the whole chapter, was written in 593 B.C. But it was a word of God about fire coming down and purifying the people and melting them as silver is melted. And he describes it even as this, that when silver ore is found, that it's not very valuable. And when we first gave our heart to the Lord, God found us. We were not very valuable, but because of fire and it began to melt that silver ore and the dross began to turn loose. See, fire makes dross turn loose. Dross floats to the top. And that's what deliverance is. It's what has floated to the top. You scrape it off. That is deliverance. And in the midst of the fire, the silver is being melted with a high heat. And as though it begins to turn to a liquid, then the silversmith takes the dipper and scrapes the black stuff off the top and throws it. But as I study Proverbs, Isaiah, and Ezekiel, the silversmith does not stop at just one scraping. Some people think that because they were scraped one time, they are perfect. But the silversmith, he puts more fire, heats it up even hotter, the furnace, and he begins to melt that silver even hotter because the scriptures tells us there are some impurities that will not turn loose with the first degree of heat. So therefore, there is more stubborn dross in that silver, and a hotter fire is put under that pot. And as the silver begins heated at a higher temperature, more stuff comes to the top. I've seen people say this. They say, Brother Reggie, I don't understand. I never had this problem before, and now I have it. Have I backslid? I will say, no, you just got closer to the fire. God's a consuming fire, and therefore dross has floated to the top, and God wants to scrape that off. And in the name of Jesus, renounce that dross and scrape it off. Not one time, not two times, and not even three times, but many times that silversmith keeps heating the fire hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, and more black stuff comes to the top, but it's becoming less, but more black stuff comes to the top, and it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. And as I study the Word of God and study the encyclopedias, someone would ask the silversmith, when are you going to stop heating? And the silversmith says, when I look into that silver and I see my perfect image, then I know all dross is out. I'm telling you, at the last trumpet, all dross is going to be out. For our God's a consuming fire. How was he when he appeared to Daniel? His eyes were a flame of fire. I'm telling you, he's a consuming fire. And he's going to get the dross out of our life in Jesus' name. Just to be obedient. Be like the silver and allow God to do it. Zechariah, the book of Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 9. Amen. Praise God. You know, if you find Matthew, and then turn forward to Malachi, and then Zechariah. Zechariah, right before Malachi, which is right before Matthew. Zechariah, chapter 13, I'm sorry. Zechariah, chapter 13, verse 9. Please look at this together with me. Zechariah 13 and 9. We remember now, we're just giving an outline about the fire. God says, and I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. Hallelujah. The third part is going through the fire. That's all that's going through the fire. Only the third part. And you make up that third part. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 2. But who may abide the day of his coming? Malachi 3, 2. Who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day of the Lord, the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And I like the scripture in Isaiah 48:10. It says, I have chosen you in the furnace. in the furnace of affliction. And someone would say, Brother Reggie, I've had so many problems and I've been through so much. My answer is, God has chosen you. God is cleansing you in that furnace of affliction. And as I begin to minister this a little bit in 1972, and nobody wanted to hear it, and so I backed it up. And then I began to minister it again, and I've been ministering ever since. But in 1982, I began to minister it, and I haven't backed up. In 1982, it was the beginning of a time. At that time, at first, nobody wanted to hear this message. But now I'm finding that people who thought we was going to be taken out of here with no problems are realizing that problems are here. Hard times are here. And they are finding that Jesus Christ is the answer. You see, they tried to ignore the devil so he would flee. They tried to ignore the problem so it would vanish. They tried to practice the speech of their mouth, saying, I will make good confessions. And if they didn't get what they needed, they say, well, I made a mistake. I must have made a negative confession. God really hasn't taught me that. There is a spirit that teaches that, but it's not God. We need to be set free. We need to be made free. And whether we go through hard times or not, I have enough sense about myself that if I train myself for hard times and don't go through it, I've lost nothing. If I don't train myself for hard times and have to go through it, I've lost everything. And I'll be honest with you, if Jesus was coming back before hard times, he would have taken me out of here in 1972. Since 1970, and it's getting hotter, but I'm getting happier and lighter to the glory of God. Praise God. And God's so sweet. If you take, I hope you take notes. I just got my dictionary and my encyclopedia out and began to study fire, and I got 8 things fire does. So this is a child message. I'm going to tell you 8 things fire does, which we've already understood. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. So it's 8 things. It's going to be 8 of them. I won't spend much time. I'm just going to bring them out to you, and you can study these things. I believe every natural thing has a spiritual teaching to it. I believe that. All right, the first thing that fire does, the first characteristic of the 8 that I made, you probably could make more or less, but I condensed it to 8. In other words, I tried to use names that would cover more than just 1 or 2 things. I tried to make it vast. So I made 8 topics of what fire does. The first characteristic of fire, as I studied it, is it consumes. It consumes. For somebody to tell me they're baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire, if they're not consumed, they don't have the fire. If God is not number one in their life, they're not consumed. The Holy Ghost and fire will not watch filthy movies on TV. The Holy Ghost and fire will not grab a golf club when souls are dying and going to hell and even miss prayer meeting to go knock a white ball around. So the fire consumes. Hebrews 12:29, our God is a consuming fire. That's Hebrews 12:29. And I believe the 120 some odd in the upper room were consumed. They didn't go visit grandma. You know, like something. Hey, brother, where was you Sunday morning? We missed you in the service. I went and visited grandma. You know what I can say? He wasn't consumed. That 120, when they finally were let out of that upper room, when they finally were let out, they told people about Jesus. They were consumed by that fire. Does that make sense to you? Fire consumes. The second thing that fire does, as I study characteristics, it destroys. Fire destroys. The first thing it's going to do is consume you. The second thing it's going to do is destroy the chaff that's in your life. Fire destroys. Psalms 97:3. A fire goeth before him and burneth up his enemies. Who is our enemy? A fire will go before us and burn our enemy. Think about that. The fire burns the enemy. So fire destroys your enemy. Psalms 50:3. A fire shall devour before him. You know what I like about fire? It just takes care of everything. Some people say, well, Brother Ranji, you're trying to make like every problem's a demon. Well, you know, I agree with that. But what I like about fire, it covers Galatians chapter 5, 2, and covers the flesh. Because you see, on the day of Pentecost, they gave a flesh offering. The 50th day. Gave an offering unto the Lord, and the people in the upper room gave their flesh. So if you got these 17 works of the flesh, which the flesh, each 17 works, I've done deliverance and found that each one of those 17 names listed in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17 on through 21, those names, those 17 names are names of strongholds and demons in people's lives. So what we do, we let the fire burn the flesh and give the demons no right to be there and cast the demons out. You cannot kill a spirit, but you can kill what right that spirit has there, and you can cast that spirit out into outer darkness. You know, I found that the devil hates fire. You know, because God built hell for the devil and all the demons. And what is hell? It is a fire. To remind the devil who God is, who is a consuming fire, and one day the devil will be consumed in fire. Forever and ever and ever. Our God is everlasting torment. So the torment side of it will be rebellion, which is eternal burning. So I'd rather burn now than later. You know, you can be born once and die twice, or either you can die twice and live forever. I might have to chew on that a while. But if you're only born once, you're going to die forever. But if you're born twice, you're going to live forever. But you got to die. You got to die. And Jesus said the second death won't hurt you. So there's two deaths. The first death is when you let the fire get a hold to you. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. So the death on the cross. I kind of like the Methodist cross. It's got fire on it. So I told you they know a little bit. John Wesley knows more than you think he knows. They just got away from it. I read a lot of his books. In fact, when I preach, I say a lot of things that he said. He said it from the Bible, I say it too. So fire destroys. It destroys the right the demons have there. And I believe you need to get rid of the right that they have there. Let the fire burn it. Praise God. The devil hates fire. Okay, you have the first two, don't you? What is it? It consumes. It destroys. And I learned yesterday on my second bite of my hamburger when Brother Glenn come running in there and rudely interrupted me that fire spreads. Because the brother thought he had it under control by himself. And what's so funny is sometimes the devil thinks he's got it under control by himself and the wind shifts direction. And you see, the devil tried to control the day of Pentecost and tried to keep them in the upper room. But then the wind shifted direction, and then directly when that fire got close to this one over here, only 120 sparks started 3,000 fires. You just walk by and catch on fire. See, our God's a consuming fire. And fire spreads. Some years back, a man by the name of Jerry Waller lives in Gloucester. Well, one day, he's going to give all to Jesus. But he's a friend of mine. He runs a gas station. He built him a Jim Walter. Jim Walter built a house, put it up on blocks, built it not far from my daddy's home. I was at my daddy's home when people come running down there and says, Jerry's place is on fire. So I got on the tractor, and I don't know what my daddy got on, but away we went to go help Jerry Waller. After it finally burned its course and did what it needed to do, and even with all the equipment, we couldn't slow it down. And I said, Jerry, what happened? He said, I gave my daughter a lesson. I said, what do you mean, Jerry? He says, I was going to show her how dangerous fire was, and it got away from me. See, when they built the house, nobody ever cut the broom straw in that pasture. So he was going to thump a match out there and say, it was around Christmas time and it was dry at that time. And so many of these people who don't know any better have Christmas trees in their house. And when they dry, they can't ignite. So he was going to show that broom straw is dry so that those trees get dry. And he was going to thump a match out there and then stomp it out. But he never got it stomped out. And it didn't stop on his place. And it didn't stop on his neighbor's place. And it didn't stop on the neighbor's neighbor's place either. So you see, fire spreads, and we have the greater, the Holy Ghost and fire. And we sometimes say, well, the devil's going to stop this, the devil's going to stop that. The devil can't stop it if the fire is there. The devil will not stop it. He can't stop it because it spreads too much, like it did on the day of Pentecost, from the 120 to the 3,000 to the 5,000 and to the whole world. So if you'll let God baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, you can spread the gospel. And then the fourth characteristic that I have is fire purifies. It purifies. And we read some scriptures like out of Malachi. He's a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. So fire purifies. Some of you people can remember mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa. If you got a splinter in your foot, you hated to tell them because they would turn that oven on or that heat on and stick that needle in there. The needle was bad enough, but that heat it hit red hot and then stick it in your foot and get the splinter out. You didn't know what you wanted, the splinter or the needle. The needle would have been all right, but it was red hot. You see, fire purifies. It kills the germs, and it kills that which pollutes. Boiling baby bottles. And what I really got amazed when I was studying an encyclopedia, for you who studied your history, geometry, or what else you're supposed to study, you might have read about, I don't think anybody's in here old enough to remember it, the Fire of London. Which I don't think anybody's old enough. He had to be born before 1666. But you know, I'm concerned about that. Those witnesses. I just wonder if one of them's here. According to our brother, they haven't died yet. He's still walking around. Hallelujah. But in August of 1666, London burnt. Is that sad? You know, people thought it was sad. But in my encyclopedia now, I can show you where people came from all over the world to build in London because there was no colds, flu, and viruses. It killed the viruses. The fire was so hot, sickness ceased in that city. People came and they would move there and asthma would leave them. They couldn't live there because they didn't have other asthmas to give them strength. So the fire of London in 1666, you can see it purified. Even a natural fire can purify. How much more can a spiritual fire purify us? So that not even darkness can stay within us if we'll let God have His way. Praise God. You know, God's coming back for what kind of church? Without spot. And according to my wife, you know, she likes that hot water and get them spots out. And what makes hot water? Fire. And she likes clothes without wrinkles, and she gets on to me because I put mine on and won't let her get that iron a hook to them and get those wrinkles out. It has to be a hot iron to get the wrinkles out. And Jesus is coming back for a church without spot and wrinkle. And how can we have a church without spot and wrinkle if we don't even know what the fire is? Amen. Hallelujah. So the fourth one is fire purifies. The fifth one, fire reveals. I read to you in 1 Corinthians 3:13, where that our works will be revealed in the fire. And it will remain. If God has ordained it, it will remain. It will remain. But if it's a flesh or demonic, fire is going to get rid of it. And I believe that's the reason that we're seeing in the last months a change in the ministries, is the fire has done burnt some of them out. And I'm not being judgmental. They might not be through forever because God is a forgiving God. And I have to ask God to forgive me for my wrong beliefs. Hallelujah. So fire reveals. It reveals what is of God. If it remains, it's God. And we're going to remain. Hallelujah. And then the sixth characteristic of fire. We might have somebody that is a blacksmith or is kin to blacksmiths. I think that's where the smiths come from, isn't it? Or a welder, or a machinist, or somebody that deals with metals. What does fire do to those metals? It softens them. And that's what the fire does to our hearts. It softens us so we can be bent and molded to the will of God. Not my will, but thine. So fire softens. Heat softens metals. So does heat softens our heart. You know, in a fiery trial, rejoice in that fiery trial. It is softening you. It's making you tender. We need to be molded into the image of Jesus Christ. So the sixth characteristic of fire is it softens. And then I like number seven. The seventh characteristic of fire is it protects. It protects. How can I prove that? Well, when they were, you know, one of our brothers taught on moving west, you know, when the east was settling and they moved west. But what kept the wild animals away at night? Fire, campfires. So you see, in a natural, fire protects. It keeps you from freezing to death. It keeps wild animals away. And you know, I've been to the first church of the Frigidaire. I know what it's like for icicles to hang off of the chandeliers. I know what it's like. They need a fire. Fire protects. Campfires keeps the wild away. Campfires keeps the evil away. So does the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. And I used to wonder, why come, oh God, you put me into your will, but people's afraid of it. Well, people's afraid of fire. And I say, Lord, why come you don't just fill our church to capacity? And I get around and I hear a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Don't get close to them. They are fanatical. They do everything. You know, even the fanatics call us fanatics at TNT. What it is, the fire protects. And probably those that's afraid to come there are wolves in sheep's clothing anyway. And God is keeping it clean. We want everybody to come. We welcome everybody. Jesus welcomed Mary Magdalene, but he cast the seven families of devils out of her. Fire protects. Protects us from error. Protects us from false doctrine. Protects us from all these things. Fire protects, my friends. Hallelujah. In the book of Acts, chapter 7, verse 30, you read as the man of God was telling about Moses, speaking about an angel of the Lord in the flame of fire in the bush. Protection. You read about the children of Israel protected in the wilderness by a pillar of what?
Fire.
At what time? At night time. When does the demons go out to see what they can do? At night time. For some reason they have more strength at night because they are powers of darkness. And in Gloucester they are stronger from 12 at night to 2 in the morning than they are any other time. They are powers of darkness at night that roam and do what they can do. So fire protects. It drives the darkness back. You can light a fire, and I've never seen a fire jump off the end of a match stem and say, I'm afraid of this darkness. No, that match will strike and it's happy to burn. We need to become happy to get rid of and expel that much darkness. Amen. To get rid of that much darkness as one match would, as one candle would, as one light would. So fire protects. It drives darkness back. All right, have you got seven of them? Has everybody got all seven of them? I mean, seven so far. And this is my last one. I'm closing with this. The last one, it gives power. Fire gives power. Now, in case somebody missed one, we're going to touch it now. Okay? The first one is consumes. The second one, destroys. The third one, spreads. The fourth one purifies. The fifth one reveals. The sixth one softens. The seventh one protects. And the eighth one, which is my last one, it gives power. Michael 3 and 8, I'm full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. So the Spirit of the Lord gives power, and you can't separate the Spirit from the fire. Luke 4, 14, and Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit and went, and the fame of him went out throughout all the regions, and he cast out demons and healed them with his word. Acts 4, 33, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of our Lord. Yes, Jesus said, and even the Scriptures teach us all over, like Acts 1 and 8, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And we know that the Holy Ghost and fire cannot be separated. And my friend, I don't know how you got here, but I'm telling you, fire got you here. How can I say that? I came in an automobile. Why is that little old V6 engine able to carry me down the road at any speed I need to go? Because fire is in that engine. That little old 3.8 liter V6 engine in that little old car out there has fire in it, my friend. And when we turn that starter on and it cranks up, you don't understand it maybe, but I do. I understand that everything is in order, and that's the reason God wants everything in decency and order in His body. We turn that key on and it cranks up and everything's just right. You see, I'm telling you that there is a fire that comes out of that spark plug, and that gas is there just in time as that. And a lot of people say, why am I going through so much? That piston comes up and compresses that gas just as it's time, just right, that it explodes. The fire explodes and ignites, causes a fire, and drives that piston down, which pushes that crankshaft down, which turns that transmission, which turns those rear end gears, which turns those tires, and away I go to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. I'm telling you, power got me here, and power got you here, and power can set us free to do the will of the Lord God Almighty. It's power. Fire brings power, no matter what it is. A diesel engine, the compression, the pressure makes fire. Diesel under pressure ignites and causes fire and drives that piston down. And the Holy Spirit wants to ignite in you and drive you to do the will of the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's all stand, and we're gonna invite God's presence in us. You know, some of you might be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I wonder how many of you feel really with the Holy Spirit and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. And I'm telling you, with God's blessings, with the leadership and this camp and all, we're going to pray together, and we're going to ask God to fill us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. You cannot separate it. So let's pray together. Let's say, God the Father, I confess Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I want to be baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire. God, breathe on me now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and fire. I will live for you. I will be a witness for you. I will do your will. I will allow you to have your will in my life. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and fire. I invite the Holy Ghost and fire to come into my life. Come in my life. Come in my life, Holy Ghost and fire. I receive the Holy Ghost and fire. I make a commitment to God. I'll live for Him and do His will in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, receive the Holy Ghost and fire in Jesus' name. God, we want the power of the living God in our life. Oh, Lord, you've spoken to us. And God, you want us to have it in Jesus' name. 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 Oh, God, we want the power. We want the Holy Ghost. We want all that you've got for us in Jesus' name. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, I want to encourage you to let the fire have its way. Let the fire have its way. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Praise God. Okay. All right. Just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Keep praying in Jesus' name. Keep your mind on the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, Sanamaka, Sanamaka, Sanamaka. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Praise God, praise.
We breathe in your fire, hallelujah. We breathe in your presence. We breathe in your presence, hallelujah. We breathe in your presence. We drink, we drink, we come and drink, we drink. Just take a big gulp and drink of the power, drink of His Spirit, drink of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let the fire fall, let the fire fall, let the fire fall.
It is a good thing, saith the Lord, yea, that you have come into my presence, yea, that you have assembled unto me this day. Yea, I am the anointing that thou now feelest, yea, as it moves in your spirit and even in your flesh, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, I am the Shiloh of Judah. I am the fourth man of the furnace, saith the Lord. Yea, I am he that was dead and is alive forevermore, saith the Lord. Yea, I live, and because I live, you may live also, saith the Lord. Yea, but I would not have thee to live, yea, a life of unrest, but I would have thee to come unto me, yea, that thou might receive a rest. Come unto me, yea, and I will anoint thee with a fresh anointing, yea, and thou shalt do exploits. Yea, you do not have to wait unto a day far beyond, yea, but even this day thou can begin to exercise ministry, yea, that it surpasses ministry exercised through thee before. For the Lord of glory pays thee a visitation this day, saith the Lord. Yea, even now am I in the midst of thee by my spirit, saith the Lord. I am beholding your worship, yea, beholding your works, yea. I am beholding your presence. I am beholding your life. Yea, if you can believe into me, you shall never die, saith the Lord. I am the bread in the tabernacle. Yea, I am the mercy seat beyond the veil. I am the order of Melchizedek. Yea, I am the first and the last. I am the Alpha and Omega. I am your Lord. Yea, and when you give me that position in your life, yea, it means that you have surrendered all to me. I call upon thee. I challenge you, saith the Lord, yea, to make just such a commitment, even this day, and your life will never be the same. Yea, for I tell you now that I am timing and placing, yea, and I am setting, and I tell you now that the end of the age is upon you. You are a generation upon whom the ends of an age has come, and much transition will be required of thee, saith the Lord thou God. Yea, so you will not drive down your stakes too deep, for when the glory cloud moves, yea, you deep will call unto deep, and thou shalt know that it is time to move closer to Zion. Yea, follow me, saith the Lord, and I shall lead thee to Zion. I shall not fail, neither shall thou fail, saith the Lord, thou God, for I shall bring thee over, and you shall not be overwhelmed, saith the Lord, thou God. Only call unto me in your time of trouble, yea, and in a time of prosperity. Don't forget to call upon your Lord. For know that it is the Lord, thou God, that will order your life. Yea, I'll order it minutely, saith the Lord, thou God, and you shall not have to walk an hour without my presence. Yea, not even a moment shall you have to go without my presence, saith the Lord. Yea, I tell you now that wave after wave after wave of my spirit shall blow upon you. Yea, and I shall make you more conscious than you have ever been before of my presence. I shall direct thee, yea, I shall guide thee, yea, and I shall bring thee safely to apprehend that for which you are apprehended for, saith the Lord. You shall reach out and say, where art thou? And I shall say, here I am. Yea, and I shall call unto you and say, and you shall answer, here I am, Lord. Yea, and I shall do with thee as it pleases me. Yea, but know this, my children, yea, sons of God, that my every intent toward thee, yea, is good. Yea, it is a blessing, yea, and you are a blessed people indeed, yea, to be led by the leader of all the host of God, saith the Lord. Yea, never forget for a moment, yea, and act as if you are in the presence of the Lord. Act as if he stood before you in a bodily form, even as the prophet does this day, saith the Lord, thou God. And ye shall not have a life of error, but you shall have a life of holiness. Yea, and holiness is the aspect that I am building into my people this day, saith the Lord. Yea, not legalistic, yea, not so much an outward appearance, but I tell you now that I'm dealing with your heart. I'm dealing with deep. Deep is calling unto deep. Yea, I'm searching the deepest crevices of your earth. Saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, I am the one that is keeping your tabernacle strong. I am the one that is sustaining you. I am the one that is keeping your tabernacle insulated. Yea, that you might live in comfort. Yea, for know that if you shall believe in me, as the scripture has said, you shall pass from death unto life. I tell you now that if you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you shall never die. Yea, know that the Lord of glory, thou mayest say, how is it that I shall remain alive? Yea, but know that the Lord of glory shall keep thee alive. Yea, for it is the spirit, it is the inner man that I am after, saith the Lord. Yea, I shall perfect the inner man first. And I tell you now that the outer man will be the last thing that I shall perfect of the triune aspect of man, saith the Lord. Yea, I'll claim his spirit, I will correct and fashion his soul, and the body shall be the last thing for redemption, saith the Lord, thou God. Yea, but you can live in hope. Yea, and even now, should there be those that will go by the way of the grave, they can go that way in hope. Yea, hoping in the first resurrection. Yea, for know that I shall sound my voice with the trumpets, and the dead in Christ shall be the first to arise. And then they that are that remain and have been perfected, yea, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And there shall you ever be with the Lord. For the Lord of hosts shall lead thee continually. I tell you, I shall not cease to work in and among and through my people until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of your Lord and of his Christ. And then I shall not cease to work through this method until there is a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth only righteousness, saith the Lord. I tell you, it is a lofty calling and a lofty landing that you shall have. For you are my people, and it is my plan, and it is I that called. Yea, and it is I that shall execute the movement, saith the Lord thou God. I do call upon thee, and I challenge thee to, with human initiative, meet me in the knowledge of my word, saith the Lord. You cannot meet me in any other way except in the knowledge of my word to fulfill the end. Yea, for know that of my government and peace there shall come no end. Yea, for it shall be established upon the throne, and upon the throne of the Son of David. Yea, and of the increase of that government and peace, there will come no end. I tell you, yours is a ministry after an endless life, for I have called thee and ordained thee and revealed to your spirit, yea, that you shall not die, but you shall live, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.